You guys have Texas Roadhouse in your country. You should just be walking around wanting to hug everybody.
Yeah, that's what everybody around the world thinks of America. Well, we have a bunch of people here that hate America and won't leave. It's unfortunate. And we have some to come back to hate America, like Rosie O'Donnell, going to be filling in for Kimmel.
That's right.
Miserable. Just every morning she gets up and she vomits in her own shoes. It's just, what a horrible, horrible way to live. But they do. They live like that. Mm. So, all right. So let's see. Where shall we start?
You want to start with this little quip from Senator Kennedy?
Okay.
Hey guys, John Kennedy here. This is another one of those silly videos that my staff told me I needed to make, though I don't know why on God's green earth anybody should care. Here goes. This is my backyard in Madisonville. If you go out on the grass, you need to be really careful because there's dog poop everywhere. And you need to be double careful if you wear tennis shoes, because you know how tennis shoes have those little grooves in them? Well, the dog poo gets down the grooves, and you have to get a kitchen knife to get them out. Anyway, peace out.
Yeah, his staff is making him make these videos, you know, just on anything. They said, you got to go viral. You got to get stuff on there. And the reason I think it's cool is because you actually see how this particular senator lives, which is very middle of the road, little house, doesn't even have a garage. You know, he's obviously not stealing money. I mean, he's got
a used elliptical machine in his carport.
Take a look. It's available to you. You can take a look at the disclosure of what each congressperson is worth. And it's funny because the money matches the attitude and the personality of that person. Like Ilhan Omar.
Oh.
$50,000 she was worth about 3 years ago. Now she's worth over $35 million.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you got old Tim Burchett over here worth, maybe $113,000. I couldn't afford to make it out to the other thing in D.C., but, you know, he's just like a simple, plain guy that lives middle of the road.
Mike Johnson. He's got two children, lives in Washington, D.C., or barely lives in Washington, tries to. Mm-hmm. He makes $174,000, which is what you make it when you're working in Congress. But obviously, he's not taking all the money like the rest of them are. I mean, look at Obama. Mm. Obama goes in there worth, he was worth about $1 million. Now he's worth over $50 million. He's got just the Martha's Vineyard plantation that he lives on, the massive, you know, what do you call it? It's so ridiculous, you know.
It's a compound.
It's a compound. That's a good one. But it looks like it has its own farm. It's surrounded by water. You know, attach that to his actual liquid net worth, and it's crazy.
You remember this lump of crap?
We came out of the White House not only dead broke, but in debt. And we struggled to, you know, piece together the resources for mortgages, for houses, for Chelsea's education. You know, it was not easy.
They're so full of crap. It's unbelievable. Her house.
Clinton, what?
They're worth, some of these people are worth nearly $100 million. Nancy Pelosi, all of them. You know, and you look at Senator Kennedy and you look at these others and, you know, they're trying to make it without cheating.
You tell me how.
Right? Yeah, right. So I don't know what's going on in Iran. I'll just tell you this. He just better end this soon one way or another. I wish he would just do what he planned on doing in the first place. These people don't understand anything but what we gave him for 3 months. They don't understand anything. They don't think like us. Mm. Whatever, everything else is a waste of time. I don't know why we do this. But Trey Link spoke to Trump for 20 minutes, and this is what he told him.
President Trump telling Fox News that the U.S. may take over the Strait in the future if they have to, and collect tolls. The president described this as the United States being the guardian angel of the Strait of Hormuz and the Middle East. And the president said ultimately that would involve the U.S. taking 20% of the oil that passes through the strait. Remember, this comes in reaction to the Iranians saying they will close the Strait of Hormuz in response to Israeli strikes against Hezbollah in Lebanon. President Trump tells Fox News he spoke with Iranian officials overnight and said, you close it and you won't have a country. He went on to tell these officials, you won't even make it back to your effing country.
See, that's the way to talk, but back it up.
Now,
what's going
earlier today, Iran's president, Masoud Pezeshkian, said this about Iranian enrichment of uranium. The president also reacting to that. Take a listen.
We will not give up our right to enrichment.
There you go. Done. Go get it done. Finish it. Done.
They're constantly telling you who they are and what they're about. What's the holdup?
I just don't understand.
The Rick Stacy Morning Show will return momentarily after Rick is done yelling. We promised you a more sedate, more calm morning show without yelling. So this part of the show has been muted or blocked. Please enjoy the music while Rick pulls his shit together. We now return to the Rick Stacy Morning Show.
All right.
All right.
Sorry about that.
All right.
Let's play a little more Trey Lingston.
And they, too, will be forced to accept it. You all know what the so-called president of the United States was saying. He had made a complete 100-degree turn. He was saying that Iran must surrender unconditionally. Iran has no right to do this. It has no right to do that.
No, you've been at war with us for 47 years. You killed Americans. We have every right to do everything.
Ooh boy, he's still going. We'll be right back after Rick takes a company-mandated stress relief break. Looks like he needs another moment or a tranquilizer. Please enjoy the music while Rick chills the f*** out. Okay, he should be okay by now. Back to the Rick Stacy Morning Show.
Sorry. All right, Trump responded to the Iranian president.
President Trump told Fox News he better watch his mouth, he better shape up, or we'll take over the rest of the country.
Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran.
I'm going to bomb the shit out of them. It's true. I don't care. I don't care. They've got to be stopped.
Well, stop them already. Just stop it. Do it.
If they don't behave,
right,
we'll go right back to dropping bombs right smack in the middle of their head.
What are you waiting for?
You keep saying
I don't know what
it.
Else they need. I don't want to set the thing off again. All right, so Keir Starmer, if you don't know who he is, he's the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. He got elected 2 years ago as the Labour Party stormed in a landslide election. But now they want him out because they don't like him, man. But you know what? Honestly, who cares?
Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares?
I missed that.
I know.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
The View.
Oh, boy.
Sonny Hostin accusing Joy Behar of having a love affair with J.D. Vance. This is
what
big.
The f***ing what?
This is breaking news. Now, they had J.D. Vance on last week. He was very cordial, very intelligent man, very well-spoken, very well-prepared. Of course, Joy Behar got him backstage and said, you know, you'd make a good president. Something to that effect. Of course, this pissed off the two racists, Sonny Hostin, and of course, the other one, what's her name?
Anna Navarro?
Anna Navarro. Yeah, they couldn't help themselves.
Here's a bunch of cows on the food.
So, then Sonny Hostin said, no, you fell for it. He's just trying to be a nice guy and you fell for it. I didn't fall for it because I hate white people. So anyway, J.D. Vance spoke about this a day after he was interviewed at The View.
Now, I have seen some progressive criticisms of me personally saying, what experience does the Vice President of the United States have with hostile, high-stakes negotiations? And I would point those progressive critics to the fact that just 2 days ago, I spent over an hour on The View. So I actually have great experience in very hostile negotiations. Look, Joy Behar is way tougher than the Iranians, and she and I are best friends now. So we're going to get to a good place here.
So this is amazing. Sonny Hostin said he came in strategically prepared to disarm us with niceness.
No, Anna Navarro said that.
Oh, she said that? Yeah. Well, what's the difference? Same one.
Yeah.
They're all the same. He came being affable and laughing easily and being very nice. I didn't fall for it. Does that tell you everything you need to know about these people?
Well, it's funny because they wouldn't say that to his face.
Right.
But then he leaves and they're like, and another thing.
Because they're cowards.
Yep.
They're cowardly cows. By the way, J.D. Vance has actually increased his lead. We're 2 years out from the 2028 presidential election. But right now, Vice President J.D. Vance remains the clear front runner with 36% of Republicans and right-leaning independents surveying saying he's the man. I can see him doing it. I just think he's got two young children. I think Marco Rubio would be a better fit, but not enough people know about him yet. So things could change near the election. Besides, I love all the hip hop, you know, lines he drops in, the lyrics he drops in his speeches.
It's like a Where's Waldo of lyrics.
Right? When is it coming up?
You
is
gotta
it Ice
find
Cube?
It.
Is it Ice Cube? NWA? Which is it this time? We'll see. Anthony Fauci. Now remember, I preface this by saying nothing's going to happen.
Which is a shame.
Think about it. Hitler gassed 6 million Jews. Anthony Fauci may be responsible for the death of 7 million people. Just because he had to have his little gain-of-function research going on somewhere. Obama told him, not here anymore in North Carolina. Don't do it anywhere. It's too dangerous. So he just lied to everybody, his own people, and went and did it at the Wuhan lab in China. Then the Wuhan lab in China, which had the security level of a small family dentist office, it leaked out. I still remember the dying doctor, 35-year-old guy, Chinese guy.
I remember.
Died in bed, and that's when it all started happening.
Yep.
Then he made up the story about the wet meat market. That was a lie. The origin is the Wuhan lab. They're still arguing about it. But there's a lot of documentation that has been withheld during this cover-up, because it was a cover-up. And Tulsi Gabbard, her last day was on Friday. Yep. She's the,
The leaving as the director of national intelligence.
Right. She's leaving. She left on Friday. But before she left, she dropped a bomb. Again, nothing's going to happen to him. But he should be in prison for the rest of his life, tortured. They should actually test viral diseases on him. Did I say that? Yes, I did.
Well, you tested him on those beagles. Remember the dogs they had with the mosquitoes?
Yeah, they tortured animals, so.
Yeah, but here's Tulsi Gabbard from Friday.
Before the COVID pandemic, Dr. Fauci, as head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, provided millions in U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund dangerous gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, work which is now widely viewed as the source of the unintentional lab leak that sparked the pandemic. Now, in support of President Trump's maximum transparency mandate, today, on my final day as Director of National Intelligence, I'm releasing never-before-seen communications and documents that expose exactly how Fauci worked with politicized career leadership in the intelligence community to suppress the truth about his actions, the virus's lab leak origins, and his role in directing U.S. funding for this dangerous research that caused immeasurable harm and countless lost lives.
7 million, I'll count them for you, 7 million people dead. And it could be because of him.
And why is nothing being done? Is it because Biden pardoned him?
Well, because he gave him a preemptive pardon.
They can still call, tell me he didn't know what was going on.
Huh?
Yeah, that's all bull crap, man. Pfizer made a lot of people rich.
I haven't gone through all the stuff that she put up, but I have looked at enough of the documents that there was stuff going on with, biolabs in Ukraine.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we had 72 of them in Ukraine. 72 biolabs, and they lied to us. They were
doing vaccine research, but a lot of the stuff that she put out, parts of whatever's in those labs, is still redacted.
The national media, the mainstream media in this country, lied to the American people when that story came out and said, no, there's no biolabs in the Ukraine.
Right.
Why do you think we sunk so much money into
that? That's why we kept sending them billions and billions of dollars.
Gotta protect those, or at least get them out before the Russians can get in to get them.
Yep. Not to mention that Ukraine was rich in minerals that we needed for the electric scam, the electric car scam. So it's all tied together, man.
Wow.
If you start waking up a little bit, just half woke. Sorry, not using the word woke. Half waken, woken, waken.
Awaken?
Awaken.
Awoken.
Awoken.
Awaken.
You'll see what's going on. It's everything ties together. So, yeah, Tulsi Gabbard dropped that on Friday. Sunday, the Washington Post, liberal left-leaning New York Times-style rag, did a 9,000-word hit piece on Tulsi Gabbard because she has a Hindu life coach. They called her a cult leader follower. Described the person as a guru and said she, just associated. It's just.
Oh my God. Who the hell cares?
They're not going to talk about what she said. They're just going to talk bad about her so you don't listen to what she said.
They didn't mention one thing about the new documents and revelations of Fauci's cover up. Nothing. Not a thing.
Oh, come on.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Let's see.
Sketchy. All right. Sketchy stuff.
Let's go to the airport for just a second.
Okay.
It's Sanford International Airport and pretty soon OIA, but 20 airports in the country are using now private security to help the TSA because we lost so many of them during the Democrat, you know, shutdown of the government. 2,000, 3,000 TSA workers quit. They were like, well, you're not paying me. I can't do this again. And you've done it twice this year. I'm done.
I'm not going to fondle people for free.
So they left. So now 20 airports across the country are using private security versus TSA. Now, it's interesting, though, because you get screened about 20 to 25 miles from the airport, and then you go directly to your gate. Yeah, here's the explanation.
Imagine being able to skip the security at a busy airport like Boston Logan and take a bus from the suburbs straight to your terminal. You can park your car there for a lot less than at the airport, and it's just like going through a regular TSA checkpoint. You hand over your ID, scan your boarding pass, put your bags on the belt, and walk through the metal detector. The only difference is, after you're through security, instead of boarding a plane, you hop on a bus that costs $9.
There we go. Now, what kind of security are you going to get on a bus that costs you $9? Now, you've already gone through security. Your luggage is headed wherever it's headed, you know, securely, I hope. But you're on a bus and you're a terrorist and somebody, you know, at one red light, you know, there's a window on some of these buses, a little sliding glass. Who's going to hand you a gun or maybe an explosive device or, you know.
Here's a fun fact. 75% of prison breaks happen on a bus.
Yeah. So what can go wrong?
Really? Damn. I didn't know that.
75%? Those are good odds.
Yeah, but I mean, I got a better idea, and I wish we'd employ this. We'd move the lines quicker.
You are flying! You will move through this line, or I will write home to your mama to tell her what an embarrassment you are to the air travel industry. You will do exactly what I say when I say it. Take your laptop out of your bag, you worthless maggot. You hear that? The stupid detector is going off, because only someone as stupid as you would leave your watch on going through the metal detector. Get back in line and give me 20.
Yeah.
Because you are a disgusting fat body, Private Pile.
So there you go. That's happened. That's actually happening right now, right here. So hopefully nothing will happen. Yeah, it's a little bus, 6 seats. It'll be secure. All right, so we have a new type of preacher now. It's the fat preacher.
This is interesting. Is this a victiming kind of thing? Like I'm the victim, or is this trying to normalize bad behavior?
I don't know what it is.
Or is it funny? Is it supposed to be funny?
No, it's not. I think there's a combination of a few things, a lot of mental illness, and I think it's a little bit of look at me, let me get clicks. I don't know what it is. But anyway, she's a fat preacher. She's definitely rotund.
It feels like a Louis Anderson bit to me. you know what I mean?
It's real. So she claims there is no sin like gluttony. There is none. She's denying that. It's part of the seven deadly sins. There was a movie about it with Morgan Freeman. So anyone in the authority position who condones that sin is precisely the kind of teacher the Lord warns us about. What do they call him? They have a name for that. Somebody.
False prophet?
False prophet, a charlatan, you know. We know James Talrico is one, but here's one you don't know. So according to this preacher, she's also, like, you know, keep that in mind, huge. She speaks out against the sin of fat phobia. That's the real sin.
What's in the box?
Here we go.
I am fat. I use the F word to describe myself because I just am. And thank God the LGBTQ plus QIA plus community has rejected this paternalism and made or found church spaces for ourselves, aided by our allies. And now it's time for fat people of faith and our allies to do the same soul work, so we can realize that no matter what shape our body is in, we all understand that we are good and whole and entitled to the same treatment and dignity and space as everyone else.
Okay, let me just make a comment right there, because you're taking up more space than the average person, so you are Nazi fascist and your fat is taking up stolen land.
As long as you thank the people for letting you take up the space on their land, I guess you're okay.
Just want to clear that up.
I am fat.
I know. She probably eats poorly. You know, let's see.
In her book, Fat Church, Anastasia Kidd welcomes us to join an anti-paternalism party.
What does your dad have to do with it? What are you taught? What?
You are a disgusting fat body, Private Pile!
A party where we break the love the sinner, hate the sin of fatness pinata, and redistribute the sweetness inside to all bodies who need to eat some candy and not feel guilty about it.
Break up the fat pinata to let the sweetness... Okay. All right. So you eat
garbage.
Did
you write this before lunch?
You eat garbage. Let's see what the doctor... This is one of the top cardiologists in the country. What he thinks about what you just said.
All that fat around this heart, it's the number one killer in humanity. Heart attacks.
I am fat.
Yeah.
Probably how you're going to die from a heart attack.
I'm still stuck on the beginning. What does the gay community have to do with her being fat?
She added the acronym FAT, so it's LGBTQ plus FAT.
I figure the plus plus would
be ASS.
I think plus.
Size.
XL.
Well, the scripture, I did a little Bibleism.
I
did some studying on the Bible there. The scripture do provide principles regarding the discipline of your habits.
Do it.
Physical stewardship and overeating.
It do.
As a matter of fact, hit it.
Oh.
The Apostle Paul teaches that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, meaning you're called to honor God with your body.
I have sinned against you, my Lord.
Proverbs 23:20-21 warns that uncontrolled appetites can lead to both physical and spiritual consequences. In case you didn't know there, fatty.
I am fat.
Okay. So here's a bonus. Now she explains, now she's getting less preachy and more medical. She's going to tell you that there is no link between being morbidly obese and being unhealthy.
What I came to realize is that obesity is not a problem because 60% of Americans are obese, or that there are these hundreds and thousands of obese people dying from being too fat, or because it costs hundreds and billions in healthcare. Because none of these things, the new research is finding, are true.
Oh, okay. So none of that's true. We're the fattest country in the entire world. Yeah. We have the most heart disease, the most cancer, but none
Play
of that.
Play the Texas Roadhouse again.
So while it's correct that you shouldn't judge somebody or treat somebody according to their weight, that's a good point. The majority of people are not out there disrespecting fat people solely because they're fat. That's not a societal thing. I mean, somebody may make fun of you if you're like 6 years old and you're in school.
Mean people.
Yeah. The problem here is not that the way people treat them. It's how they treat themselves. And because the truth hurts, that's why people like this woman exists. Some of the comments are great. Nathan, I am fat too, but I took the stroke seriously and repented to God. Now much less fat and I'm much healthier. Here's Rad. So she's both not a pastor and an uneducator.
People like her act like that the majority of humans that are obese don't know they're obese. Most fat people know that they're fat.
I know when I'm fat.
It's my favorite Louis Anderson. When he comes out, he grabs the microphone stand. Let me move this so you can see me.
Oh my God, this story, it's local. Orange County here in Orlando. No. Former Florida probation officer could face more than 560 years in prison after being accused of leaking secret arrest warrant information to a fentanyl trafficking group her father was tied to. Oh my God! The Orange County Sheriff's Office says Crystal Lawson, 32, used a government-only court database to spy on an active drug enforcement investigation officer, then passed along confidential documents to her father.
So she's tipping off the drug ring about the investigation on the drug ring. Inside information.
113 felony counts of computer crimes, each carrying up to 5 years. She could be in prison for 560 years. With good behavior, she'll get out at 400.
Oh, my gosh.
And finally...
What?
Uh-oh. Is this the paste of resistance?
This is it.
Oh, boy.
This is it. Gird your loins. Whatever that is.
I don't wanna.
What's my loin? I don't know. I can't point at on a map. Former Vice President Kamala Harris.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Got on a podcast with Don Lemon. Isn't that perfect, her and Don Lemon?
Oh, God.
They should get married.
No. That makes it worse. No, he only marries white dudes and then he talks bad about white people.
That's right. She has a new definition for the word hope. On Friday, I don't. She's still. Let me tell you something. You're going to listen to this. You're going to listen to it good.
It's going to give you a headache.
She's still the front running candidate for Democrats for president in 2028. 27% say she would make an incredible president. Are you ready?
It's word salad with extra, extra croutons.
Hold on. Here we come.
When we feel powerless, we are powerless. And when we feel powerful, we are powerful. And I believe we are powerful. We each have light inside of us. And we need to know that that is what inspires our hope as much as anything external to ourselves. And when we feel that and not allow an election or an individual to dampen that light, mm-hmm. And instead let that light kind of carry us, in particular through moments of darkness, that we not only act on that hope, but we inspire that hope in each other. It is so important.
So we're all ET. So I hope she never runs for office ever again for any office, but
no,
she's going to run for president.
We not only have hope, but that we understand that that should be a verb, which means that hope has to go hand in hand with action. Mm-hmm. And that action includes overcoming the obstacles they're trying to throw in front of us in terms of access to the ballot.
Or syllables.
That hope combined with the action will result in us winning the midterms.
Can you?
And that we will also understand that hope is consistent with a commitment to the fight.
See, what's going on here is the teacher wrote you to, told you as an assignment to write a 300-word essay.
And you only got to 150?
That's it. Plus, you know, it's almost like when you sit down at the toilet to do number two and you think you're done and you get up halfway and you go, oh, no, you got to sit down again.
This book was very, 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 very good.
Which means that hope has...
Never mind, I want to hear more. There you go.
There's no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Can you play that part again of her?
I don't know where it is.
I thought that was you editing just for funsies, but it's really her, isn't it?
I don't know.
She's having a time.
But within the soul is the living of love.
Oh, that's not it. Hold on. Where is it?
That's a whole new slew of words.
Is it? Let's see.
It's in the middle.
To go hand in hand with action. And that action includes... Mm-hmm. Overcoming the obstacles they're trying to throw in front of us in terms of
I may have thrown an extra one in there.
Okay,
today, Junior. But you know what? If you didn't understand any of that, and maybe you have your kids with you and they're going, Daddy, what did she just say? It's no big surprise.
Really?
You haven't gotten the right training to be able to understand what she's saying.
It's a dialect issue.
Yeah, you know. Well, you need to go to there's a specialized learning center, a class. To figure out how to understand what she just said.
Okay.
Is your child struggling in school? Then enroll them in the Kamala Learning Center. Yes, Kamala Harris will help mold your child's mind to be more like hers. That's the Kamala Learning Center promise.
All right, little girl. Are you ready to learn?
Yeah!
Repeat after me. I before E. Except after you search within your heart and see the light of the candle that burns bright, when inside of the burning flame is a heat that is hot like a candle inside of a heart. But when you have the heart, the lungs and the esophagus are also inside near the candle. Hot heat of life, live, laugh, love. But within the soul is the living of love and the strength and hope, which is a verb.
Come again?
The Kamala Learning Center. Enroll your child today.
The Sunny Update. The Rick Stacy Morning Show with Jill and Smokestack. Fully vaccinated for a world gone crazy. It's all good. We're fine. Everybody's good here.
Is brought to you by All Electric Services. Why do people insist on going on adventures on their own by themselves?
Without a phone?
Yeah, like remember the lady that got lost in Hawaii?
Oh, dude, look her up. I always enjoy her. Yeah, she goes
she
down.
She went without a phone or compass.
Goes down a deep ravine in Hawaii in between two huge mountains, and Hawaii's brush is really, really thick. Their vegetation.
Right.
so you can get lost very easily. She went without a phone, any kind of beacon, any kind of Apple tag, nothing. And then when she came out, this paste of resistance right there, if we could find it.
I'll tell you about this guy. Let me know when you find it, because this is a fisherman. He had been missing for a week, had been found safe by the Royal New Zealand's Air Force Poseidon crew. They didn't give us his name. He set off on June 11th for what was supposed to be a one-day fishing trip, sailing from the Northern Cook Islands, about 2,100 miles north of New Zealand, in his 13-foot aluminum rowboat. He never returned, and on Friday, a week later, he was spotted by rescuers. Nearby fishing vessels had indicated they were able to pick him up. He was reportedly sailing from, oh boy, I'm going to butcher this, Puka Puka?
Puka Puka,
formerly known as Danger Island. Why would you go there? One of the Cook Islands' most remote islands. See, again, going out on a tiny little fisherman boat, aluminum, to one of the most remote islands whose nickname is Danger Island.
Right.
So let's
suck you into the core of the Earth Island.
Let's just go by ourselves.
Yeah, it's right next to Instant Death Cove, if you've ever been by there.
Oh, I've been there. It's great.
God, thank goodness.
I'm just a girl that got lost in the woods, and you guys, like, showed up hard. Like, this is, like, true aloha.
It's true aloha.
True aloha.
Oh, my God. What a phony little... Jeez.
Speaking of Danger Island, they should call this Danger City, and I'm talking about Chicago.
Oh, it's called Chirac, actually.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
A wave of shootings in Chicago have left 7 people dead and 38 hurt. That's just since Friday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, my God. Let me take my... Where's my phone? I got to do the calculator. Hold on. So, wait. 38. What's the total of dead and shot?
Well, 38 have been hurt, 7 people dead.
What is wrong with you? So, that's a total of what? 38 shot plus...
Can't 45. We all just get along?
38 and 45. Then 7 dead?
45.
So 45. So 45 divided by 4, because in the
Every
United
mass
States...
shooting is more than 4 people, right?
Yeah, the FBI qualifies a mass shooting as 4 people. So that's... wow, that's 11 mass shootings in Chicago over the weekend. 11. We have one person shot by some transgender, some school, and they stop the presses for 3 weeks, and they have investigations and everybody, and we never see the manifesto. What's it called? The manifesto?
Right.
But there's been 11.25 mass shootings in Chicago just this weekend. It's not even on the news.
It's amazing what gets attention and what doesn't.
These are the same people, too, that are all, because it's black-on-black violence, right? So it's not on the news, but these are the same people that are, oh, Trump's a racist, and we're anti-racist. And
you know, and Trump said, I'll still send the military into your city if you want. And Pritzker didn't comment. He's like, nah, you keeps turning down Trump's offer.
Well, of course.
Because look. He sent the military into Memphis, Tennessee, which I used to live there. Crime is horrible, and now it's a lot better.
Dude, these people portray themselves as fighting for black people in this country. They don't. They're worse than anybody. They don't give a crap whether you live or die.
They had 2 dozen shootings on Juneteenth alone.
2 dozen? That's
it's
4
a holiday. We can't all just get along on a holiday.
That's 6 mass shootings not reported on national media. That is insane. If you had a school shooting, no, forget school shooting. That's because it's young people. Let's go with adults. Let's say somebody goes into a factory and mows down 7 people. What happens? Wall-to-wall coverage, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen a word about it on local media?
Nope.
Mm.
This goes back to earlier we were discussing how everyone feels the need to tell you what to do with your life on social media. Everybody's got a comment. You could be putting up the most simple thing in the world, sitting there enjoying a Diet Coke, and they'll be like, you know that aspartame's going to kill you and you shouldn't be drinking Diet Coke.
Like Quiet.
They love to tell people what to do. This father recently went viral, and I saw the picture, didn't think anything of it. I don't know why people, you know, it's very possible. I don't know if you know this. Hear me out on this. If you see somebody put something up on social media and you don't necessarily agree with it or like it, you can just keep going on with your life, believe it or not.
Really? Where do you see that?
I'm pretty sure you need to stop and complain.
Is that a myth?
Does that come with a manual?
Is it just a wives' tale? It might be. This father went viral for this photo, and I'll describe the photo to you, and I'll let you guess what people were saying about it. So he's walking. It's shot from the back. Somebody took it of him, because that's what you do. You take pictures of other people, and then you post it to your social media and shame that person.
Right.
So he's walking with his son. His son appears to be about 3 years old, and they're walking down the street, and he's carrying his dog. The dad is carrying the dog and holding his son's hand, and him and his son are walking.
Right.
What could somebody possibly have to bitch about that photo?
I don't know.
So they shamed him for prioritizing the dog over his child, saying, why aren't you carrying your child and letting your dog walk on the ground? Why are you carrying your dog and making your little kid walk?
The kid needs the exercise.
Hang on, let me type my comment.
He likes to walk?
Why would you be so mean to your child?
What did he do wrong?
They said that you're holding your dog and you're letting your kid walk. Really? Why didn't your dog just walk on a leash and you hold your kid? And he came back and was like, well, here's why. Because my kid had shoes on and the pavement's extremely hot.
My
dog doesn't have any shoes on. So I picked up my dog. You don't know how many times I see people walking in this extreme heat with their dogs. I'm like, did you take your shoe off and feel the ground, see how hot it was? No, you just walk your dog. Oh, okay, cool. Some people have shoes on their dogs, but some people don't realize how hot it is.
Yeah.
And so this, I think this was being a good pet owner.
Well, absolutely.
But no, people have something to, everybody's got something to say.
So what were the comments like?
They were just saying, shaming him, saying, oh, yeah, you're just going to let
the comments were like that?
Yeah.
So we have a more than one stupid person living
here. Because somebody posted it.
Right.
Before the father came out, and everybody's got a pile on because everybody's brave behind a keyboard, Rick.
Right.
Love the keyboard warrior mentality.
And they don't have an ability to think it out, to look at the picture and go, wait a minute, you know, maybe the ground's hot, nothing?
No.
No.
Nobody has
They
nobody
just
has
join in because they want to be like everybody else, different.
All right, this is interesting. Science finally tried to measure childbirth on a pain scale, and the results are in. Are you ready?
From one to bleep?
No, it's they're trying to make it equivalent to something else. So now, childbirth, they have finally discovered, hurts more than breaking 20 bones all at once.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it can't be. Is it really
I was looking at my girlfriend's stomach open like a Home Depot bucket. She's like, hey, what's going on?
Wait, that was weird.
That's a C-section.
Yeah.
Even then.
They're talking about, but they said the 20 broken bones registers the number of 43. The human passes out from pain, goes unconscious to protect the body at 45. Childbirth registers at a 57.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I'm just letting you know. So count. Go hug your mom.
Don't we have another way of doing this? It seems so archaic. Don't we have like put you to sleep and then we have like a...
And then you wake up and you're sewn back together and you're in a pretty outfit.
No, we're trying to teleport the baby out of the stomach, but we keep grabbing the liver.
Don't we have
instead?
Like a machine we can use? I mean, it does everything for you. And
yeah,
you're
it's a claw machine. It's like those games they have at the bars and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Like a thing like that. No, we can't do that.
I don't know.
You're asleep. Don't they have like the spatula machine? What is that thing called?
Yeah, that's why my head's misshapen.
Spatula? What is that thing called?
The speculum.
Is that what it is? Speculum?
That pulls the head out?
Well, we can have one that opens the doors.
It's like salad tongs.
The doors open naturally by themselves. Yeah, it's called dilating.
Then why are you pushing?
But we still got to give it a little help.
Oh.
It's like, why do you sit on the toilet and just not let it fall out? You still got to give it a little help. Right? You got to help it a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. I've been giving birth a few. There's probiotics, man. I'm telling you. But, okay. I just think there's a better way to do that. I just haven't come up with it yet.
I think we all do, especially after we got done with it. And we're like, there's got to be a better way.
There's got to be a better way.
I remember being in shock. You know, when you're pregnant, you're all happy, and you are. And you're like, this is going to be so great. I can't wait to have my baby. Then when I checked into the hospital, I was like, oh, no. My mom goes, what? I said, it's in here, and it's got to get out here. What is it? That's not good. That can't be fun. I don't like that part of it.
I bet you we have another way of doing it. They're keeping it from us because of the epidural medicine. Lobby in Washington.
Or maybe all the medicine they have to administer to you.
That's what I'm saying. The epidural, whoever makes
it. Well, before the epidural comes a whole bunch of things they give you. Other drugs and then the IV fluid.
Yeah, you can't tell them that there's a machine that does it without pain.
You're there for a couple of days.
They'll ruin the epidural business. Look at that.
Look, here's the thing,
Danny
though.
K. Epidural Center will close.
I would have given my kids college fund for that epidural because that saves you.
Oh, you didn't have an epidural?
I had two and they both wore off. So that was
Did they have the intern try to use you as a pincushion first?
Yep.
Why do they do that?
We're going to get someone to practice on your spine. Just
Normally, I wouldn't have approved of that, like the student, but I was they had given me this drug that was like, that makes you like a calm.
Fuzzinol,
Yes, pretty much.
She's very compliant. Ask her now.
Yeah, and then after I was like, ow, you still have, ow. It's like, okay, can you, then they sent in this German lady. She was like, out of my way. I'll do it. And she came in. She was the head of the anesthesiology department. She did it 1, 2, 3.
She did what?
The epidural. She put it in the back, and then it wore off, and they'd do another one.
Why can't they do more?
They did, but it's like an IV that goes in, but then that wore off.
How long?
I was in labor for 36 hours.
Before. Why do they wait so long to get this stuff out when you're epiduraling?
And then they were like, oh, sorry, it's time to push. They always say that, oh, now it's too late. I'm like, what do you mean? That's the whole purpose of it, to serve so I don't have to feel the thing.
What
now
the hell are you talking about?
I can feel the thing.
Yeah, why did they do that? Do they wait too long between the epidural and doing the thing?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I just know that I was like, this is not going to be fun for anybody in this room. If I have to suffer, you're right all now suffering. UFC fighter Josh Hokit, he's the one that said Michelle Obama was a man after all of the backlash, I guess we'll call it, of people saying, that's disgusting, that's gross.
Did she respond?
Ha, 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 ha. Well, quiet.
Rick actually said she did respond, didn't she? You don't have the audio.
That was to another person.
Oh.
Oh, no, but it was about him, right?
What's his name? No.
Josh Hokit, about the fighter calling her a man? Oh.
No, this was William Kay. He's a very popular political influencer. He's MAGA. He's black, because that plays into it. And she called him sellout N-word.
Oh, gotcha.
She said that N-word did me wrong.
Oh, gotcha.
In a live podcast while on the air.
Well, people were coming up to Josh after the fact saying, well, after all this backlash, do you want to say you're sorry? He's like, you mean you called Melania an escort and said you were happy Charlie Kirk was dead and you want me to apologize? Spare me the fake outrage.
Right.
He stood by what he said.
Terrence K. Williams, that's his name.
Oh, I like him. I follow
him.
He's
really good. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that dude.
Smart guy. Young.
Somebody else that people were outraged. Can we just not stop being outraged by things?
Yeah, that and backlash. Those words are useless now.
Let's just go live your life. Try to live your life the best you can live your own life and mind your business and let everybody else do what they want to do. And maybe we can be the America that the Europeans believe that we are.
Right.
You know, if everybody just stops already.
Go to Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah,
chill out.
Be happy. Because Jack Osborne went to the UFC Freedom 50. And everyone was like, oh my God, you must see MAGA. What would your dad think?
And as far as the people bringing my father into this, saying, oh, Ozzy would not approve, he's rolling over in his grave. Shut the f*** up.
That's just my favorite part.
Shut the f*** up.
I just need to keep that.
Shut the f*** up.
I'm just going to play that forever.
Why don't you shut the hell up?
Why don't you make it a ringtone?
No, it's not shut the hell up.
Shut the f*** up.
It's that.
Okay.
That's what you got to do.
You did not know my father. You did not know where he stood with things. Yes, he wrote a song called War Pigs. Sure, anti-war song. He wasn't anti-UFC. He wasn't anti-going to an event at the White House. He was anti-war. Sure, fair enough. But at the end of the day, my dad still attended the correspondence, the press dinner back in the day when Bush was president. George Bush gave him a shout out. My dad did USO tours. He went to Korea to see the troops. He attended events at Walter Reed Hospital to see the wounded soldiers and Marines and, you know, Air Force pilots. So shut the up, basically. Like, you to bring my father into this to say he would or wouldn't approve is completely insane. I simply attended a sporting event for a sport that I have a great amount of respect for and something that's been a part of my life since I can remember. So deal with it. I'm sorry you weren't invited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you shut the hell up?
You went to a veterans hospital. You're MAGA.
Which, again, I don't get that part because this MAGA means make America great again. Do you not want the country to be great?
What are they going to do? They don't have jobs.
You'll have nothing to complain about if your country's good?
Right.
I
just wish we could do the exchange program, the Rick Stacy exchange program.
Yes, all of these Europeans that love us so much that want to be here, let them be here. And if you hate this country, you can go take over there.
No, we get a complete switch. Yeah. I'm sure they would agree to it. You get whatever they live in over there, and they get what you live in here.
Yep.
They'll probably not take what you live in, but because, you know, you don't work.
Right.
But yeah, and we just get your passport and everything ready, and let's go.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
So, speaking of Trump, he had something to say the other day because Jimmy Kimmel came out and he's going on a 2-month sabbatical from his show and decided that he's going to name people that he, like guest hosts that are going to fill in for him.
I will be taking the next 2 months off, this time voluntarily. Well, we have assembled a potent group of hosts to fill in for me, beginning with Tiffany Haddish, Coleman Domingo, Ike Barinholtz,
Anthony Anderson Jelly Roll. And as a special treat for our Commander-in-Chief, I asked one of his all-time favorites, Rosie O'Donnell, to be here to keep the hits coming.
Wow, whole pile of commies.
I know. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
But he had something to say about it.
Hi, folks. Thanks for coming. And I, your favorite president, Donald Trump, want to let you know that everything in Iran is great, but unfortunately, a new threat has emerged. The greatest threat to America's safety there's ever been. I'm talking, of course, about Rosie O'Donnell. She's back on TV. She's going to be filling in for that loser, Jimmy Kimmel. And she's not going to stop there. She's going to be on the game shows, too. Can you imagine Rosie on Jeopardy? Horrifying. And she's going to do the infomercials on QVC too. Rosie will be trying to sell you an air fryer, and it's going to be just awful because she's an ugly pig. She'll destroy television as we know it. But I have a plan. I'm going to sign an executive order that bans Rosie from TV. Then I'm going to place her in the Strait of Hormuz to scare away the drones. And that will work. Believe me. Don't worry, folks. Rosie won't be able to hurt you anymore. No more questions.
You're a loser, Rosie. Huge loser. Huge. Rosie O'Donnell, I really hate your face. I think that you're a pig slop, if I can state my case. I know that you don't like me. I think you made that clear. I think that you're a loser, so make like a tree and disappear. Rosie, you are just a big fat head case. Can't you see that I am number one? I really am. Why am I even talking to you in the first place? I know why. It's just so much fun. Rosie O'Donnell, I really hate your face. I think that you're a pig slap, if I can state my case.
Crazy talk. This is the Rick Stacy Morning Show with Jill and Smokestack. Having fun with a world gone crazy.
You wouldn't believe it. I'm in America. You go to Walmart. In Walmart, they've got fireworks that you can just buy. Like, I remember when I was 7 years old, they banned fireworks. And I was just like, that's it. They're gone forever. No more lighting fireworks in your backyard. I go into Walmart. Here's all these fireworks. You can buy them. You don't need to fill out a form. You don't need to get permission off the government. No, just buy fireworks. Off you go. It's unbelievable. And the only thing that's a bit, like, restrictive, I saw a sign that said, no smoking. So, like, that's it. Like, the only thing they're saying in America is just don't smoke near the fireworks. And I think if you're... If you're in America and you're smoking a cigarette walking down the fireworks aisle in Walmart, you're taking freedom a little too far. You can just buy fireworks and take them home with you in your car. But this is the kind of stuff you guys need to put on your tourism brochures. Not a photo of a bison in a field. You just need a photograph of Walmart firework aisle. Aussies will come just for that.
Right? It's the little things. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
You know, little freedoms we got here, we take everything for granted.
We've never been without some of this stuff. It's just normal. And they're like, wait a minute, you guys have this? That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, and you see what's happening with the far left. I mean, the Democrat Party is no longer the Democrat Party that it used to be. It is now the far left party. And it's radical socialism and communism and total control of everything. Bernie Sanders said this last week. He says he wants the government to take over all AI's industries.
But he liked that, you commie.
Take people's private property and just take it over. This is the mentality of these people. They think they know what's better for you than you do.
Yeah.
And they want to take control of everything. And they hate this country. They hate the way it is. They want it to be totalitarian. And then they accuse Trump of being a Hitler. It's just an amazing thing to watch. So then you got Obama out there. You think he's had enough? No, he hasn't had enough. He has this Death Star looking library.
Yeah.
Have you seen him?
I've seen the outside. I've not been there, obviously.
No, I know. By the way, you have to have photo ID if you go in there.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's kind of racist, imagine isn't that. It? Because, you know, that's Jim Crow 2.0.
Imagine.
So, yeah, so you got this huge library. You got your Martha Vineyard just incredible complex. You got your chef that died and nobody knows what happened in 3 feet of water. That's another topic. But, I mean, You got all these privileges. You went from being worth just under $1 million to being worth $50-60 million. You're living the American dream. Your wife hates your guts, but she's still hanging around.
And now you got a Death Star of a library?
Yeah, that took up 100 acres. I found the word, gentrification.
Okay, okay.
Where rich people, you know, there's an anchor of some sort that brings the rich people in, and all of a sudden the property values skyrocket. People can't buy into that neighborhood that used to be able to.
Yeah, they start putting up restaurants with a bunch of corrugated steel and uncomfortable stools that charge you too much for a drink. And it goes over and over.
And then the people who live there can't stay there.
They'll buy some weird beat-up old warehouse and try to make it look like cool new apartments that they charge way too much for.
With all those gifts in life, President Barack Obama still hates this country. He took an opportunity. This is the opening of his dream, his legacy. This is something that should be positive and inspirational to other black men. Yeah. You can be anything you want to be, and you certainly can, because it's not about skin color. But with him, it's always about skin color. So he took an opportunity to take a shot at the founding fathers and just basically be negative about the United States.
There are American values we can all share, regardless of party. Values every president here today, as different as we are, has tried our best to uphold. Values that John McCain and Mitt Romney believed in.
Oh, that's special. Okay, let's just study that for just a second. Mitt Romney. First of all, everybody in the Democrat Party called him a racist, although there was no proof of it at all. Then they said, when that wasn't good enough, they said he gave women cancer and wanted to lock women up in binders. Remember all that? That was Obama. Obama, the president that engineered the Russian hoax, where he used the justice system in our country to weaponize it against a possible president, candidate for president.
Mm.
And he's up there talking about the values and, you know, just we're sitting at values. We all, you know, we admit to the values. Yeah, that's what he did.
The story of America at its best, because it reflects a basic faith in the decency of our fellow citizens.
Decency. Now I remember. Now it just struck me. You called Romney. You said Romney was going to enslave black people, and you had Biden say the same thing.
Yeah, jackass.
Decency, huh? Decency. Spying on your successor while he was a citizen. You sicked the FBI on him. You took him in and indicted him 93 different times. You engineered the entire Russian hoax. I mean, it's crazy. And Abby Phillips last night on CNN was just adoring him. He really is the strongest president we've ever had.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? All right, so TSA is warning you right now. This is for the World Cup tourists.
Yeah.
Don't take Russian dressing
ranch
with
dressing.
You. Ranch dressing. I'm sorry.
Russian dressing.
Didn't they have Russian dressing at one time?
No, yeah. Russian dressing is a real thing.
Still it's exists? Just,
yeah.
Don't they call it Thousand Island
yeah,
now?
Yeah, it's like the same thing.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard that in years.
Yeah, me neither.
Do they still have French dressing?
Yes.
The orange stuff?
Yeah.
Wow.
A tangy orange.
Yeah.
Sweet stuff that's mostly sugar.
See, everything's been ranch dressing for like three decades.
Is superior.
Right?
Yeah.
Put it on your wings.
Put it on everything.
So anyway, these World Cup tourists are fans of ranch dressing, but TSA is warning them, don't bring that to the airport. You got to put it in your luggage.
Why?
Because it's a liquid.
I suppose it's a liquid, yeah.
Yeah.
They were starting to make TSA-friendly ranch just for the Europeans so that they could take them home with them.
It's time to ranch it up!
The TSA stressed that any ranch container larger than 3.4 ounces will be tossed.
Well, it's funny because they were talking about, they were doing little skits, the British, they were like going home and they're like, everything sucks, we don't want to eat any of this. They're like, what do you mean? You've always liked beans on toast. They're like, nah, that's rubbish. We want Chick-fil-A and ranch dressing and Chick-fil-A sauce. That's what they want. They did a whole thing of them all trying Chick-fil-A, which, you know, set aside that there's 77 ingredients in the chicken sandwiches, but I know, don't tell them that. It takes away the fun. And they're like, let's dip this in here. I don't even know what this is. It just says Chick-fil-A sauce. I don't even know what's in it, but it's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
I put it on everything.
It's basically honey mustard and barbecue sauce together.
Really?
Essentially, yeah.
Honey mustard and barbecue sauce.
Mixed together.
Wow, that sounds
like Chick-fil-A sauce.
I'm going to try that.
You could do it yourself.
No, that's what I mean. I'm going to try that.
It's time to ranch it up!
Yeah, I'm going to try that. Sounds good. We got new fraud.
Uh-oh.
Now, here's what strikes me, because you saw a Democrat last week. I forget her name. She was up there, you know, of course, bashing Trump, because that's all they have. That's all they have, by the way. And she was saying, you know, Social Security is going to go, you know, completely broke. Medicare is going to go broke. Well, you know why? Because of all the fraud, the fraud that you're enabling. I mean, it started in Minneapolis. We had Nick Shirley go out there. You didn't pay attention to him. You made him sound like he was some kind of influencer that was made up the whole thing. It turns out there was $19 billion of fraud just in Minneapolis alone, never mind the whole state. You got a corrupt attorney general in that state, Keith Ellison, met with some of the fraudsters who were put in jail a week later and said, oh, there's no fraud here. Remember, they gave him $10,000 for the meeting?
I do.
You're a liar. So here's some more fraud. 11 illegal aliens charged with $1.4 million in stealing money from the American people by assuming their identity, stealing their identity from Americans, and using it to get SNAP benefits and all kinds of other stuff. The Assistant Attorney General Colin McDonnell has something to say about that.
We are announcing charges against 15 defendants alleged to have stolen taxpayer-funded benefits here in Massachusetts. These cases involve stolen benefits ranging from $4,000 to over $500,000.
Oh, come on!
The programs exploited involve food assistance under SNAP, Medicaid benefits administered by MassHealth, housing benefits, Social Security disability payments, and more.
That is messed up, yo.
Yeah.
Why are you gay?
I don't know. I don't know why everybody's
I don't know.
What does all men sound like that? It's just what's going on here. So, the DOJ's fraud division, they must be busy because this just goes on and on and on. Here's another one. And there's all kinds of fraud. They try everything. In Baltimore, a new fraud case involving AI stole thousands of dollars in college financial aid. New state audit reveals Baltimore City Community College gave more than $264,000 in taxpayer-funded financial aid to students that don't exist.
Oh, that's crap.
Now, to explain this, how the AI did this, of course, with these, you know, criminals' help, here it is.
Surprisingly simple, incredibly effective. So scammers steal real people's identities, which is not a new threat, not a new attack, and they create synthetic ones. So they use those to apply in online to primarily online community college classes, the kind with no in-person requirements.
Auditors write, this involves AI-powered bots that mass apply to colleges. They create fake accounts, submit bogus assignments to maintain the illusion of enrollment long enough to get financial aid.
And you don't have to be a programmer. You can simply have a really creative and clear way to communicate what you're hoping to do. Hey, in this particular geography, identify the schools with online courses and then apply with some particular database of already stolen identities and continue that process until you're successful.
That's nuts.
Yeah. And scary.
And what did, what's his name? The guy, Todd Blanche, who said that it's just the tip of the iceberg. Nationally speaking, the amount of fraud that's going on. Everybody's stealing everything. What's going on?
Serious crap.
It's just constant. Every single.
And you can't. What's sad is you can't possibly catch all of them.
We haven't called. We don't put anybody in jail anymore. Yeah. We had those. I think we had 63 indicted and convicted in Minneapolis. They're serving time. But I mean, for the most part, look in California. There was 1,300 hospices in one county.
Yeah.
1,300. One of them was a taco stand. Seriously.
Would you like a burrito?
And they just think nobody's going to notice, or they just were hoping that nobody was going to notice?
There's no accountability. There's no, you know, yeah, they arrest them, they get out, 5 years, it might be a trial. I mean, it's just crazy. So, there you go. That's an interesting one. Stealing financial aid from students.
This is kind of sad, but when you were talking about how people just get away with so much stuff, I did a little research here.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately 50% of violent crimes are resolved. So that means like half aren't.
That's pretty high.
And the vast majority of property crimes, such as burglary and larceny, go unsolved. Arrest rates for auto theft are consistently below 10%.
So you have
a 90% chance of getting away with stealing a car.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, what?
90% chance.
Because nobody's held accountable for anything
for nothing.
Anymore.
Yeah, it says the overall problem is actually even larger. According to the Department of Justice, more than half of all violent crimes are never reported to the police in the first place.
They're not going to snitch.
Wow.
What about murders? You got that?
I mean, that's violent crime. Approximately 50 of those are resolved. So for homicides, clearance rates have dropped over recent decades to roughly 58%.
Oh, did they get solved?
Yeah.
So 42% of murders.
That's what I'm saying. The other look at the other half. That's where it's alarming.
Holy crap. I'm telling you, man. Gun turrets, perimeter alarms, staying home. Federal officials are investigating a close call between two passenger jets at Boston's Logan International Airport. This happened Saturday morning. A Delta flight coming in from Dallas had to abort its landing to avoid an American Airlines plane that just took off from the same runway.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I'm not flying either. It's, again, more of an argument. Every day I get more.
Oh, every day I want to go less. I still want to go on vacation. I just don't want to have to take an airplane to get there.
No. Supreme Court ruled on Thursday that now on a 9-0 vote, so it wasn't like it was partisan. You know, that Supreme Court, they're just rogue. They're just rogue. They're Republicans, and we need to put 13 judges or 24, maybe a million judges on there because they're rogue. Uh-huh. So on a 9-0 vote, the court concluded that the government's invocation of the law, which is, what is the law? Oh, you can smoke marijuana, then you can't own a gun.
Oh, gotcha.
So now they found that runs afoul of the Constitution's Second Amendment when it comes to when it's used against Ali Daniel Harmani. That was the case that, you know, set the president precedent. The law makes it a crime for any person who is unlawfully user or addicted to any controlled substance to possess a firearm. It is the same statute that Hunter Biden, the son of former President Joe Biden, was convicted under June 2024.
Right.
So now you can own a gun and technically smoke pot.
Well, I mean, if he got pardoned, why shouldn't the rest of everyone?
No, I understand.
You're off the hook, Smoke.
Well, I was never on the hook.
Well.
Two separate parts of my life.
You got some 1984 music, some kind of dark dystopian.
Oh, you want dark dystopian music?
Yeah. You must have a lot of that. You play it in your car on the way home?
Yeah, it's really just helps me unwind at the end of the day.
I'm going home. So license plate cameras aren't just license plate cameras anymore. That's right. Here in Orlando or anywhere you go, there's a new surveillance system made by a company called Leonardo. That's got to be some kind of historical reference. Maybe. So anyway, somebody who couldn't mind their own business, Leonardo.
We made an example out of it.
Right. So anyway, the company is adding something called signal trace to their readers, their cameras.
Oh, boy.
Not only will their cameras be able to read license plate, but they can also gather signals from other nearby electronic devices, such as specific vehicles' devices, including e-signatures from cell phones, key cards, fitness monitors, Fitbits, RFID tags.
Whoa, are you kidding me, Rick?
Like Apple tags, Bluetooth accessories, tire pressure monitoring systems, pet microchips, and other commonly used electronics. They compile all that data into one footprint to identify who you are and where you're going.
Wow.
Because if we're all with you at the same time, or 90% or 80% of them with you, it's you.
Yikes.
And we make fun of China?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're definitely getting there. I know that we've got a few of those like AI traffic cameras.
It's super accurate where we can detect pedestrians, bikes, cars, buses, whatever's out there. If the lights don't change in a timely manner for pedestrians, they tend to just jaywalk, right? So, but we've seen that if we are able to optimize both the automobile traffic and the pedestrian traffic, that it becomes much safer for everybody.
So they have like AI cameras that can scan who's on the sidewalk and tell if it's a person or not, and then adjust the lights based on that information.
Did you catch what I caught?
What?
They used the word safety in there.
No, I caught that. Uh-huh. I was about to go off on that.
For
the children. Whenever they say those two things, children or safety, they're up to something. I'm telling you why. We proved it here when Malin and, you know, Orlando, Orange County, decided they're going to put these red light cameras in. Mm-hmm. They did something. Because it's about safety, Jill.
As long as they use that word.
If it wasn't about safety, if it was about safety, they wouldn't have done this. But we took a reading of the yellow light before they put this red light camera in here on the corner of what used to be Pembroke and 414.
Okay.
Going through Maitland. It was 7.5 seconds, the yellow light. That's quite enough time for you to
get through.
If you're not close enough, you know, you don't want to slam on your brakes, you can get through. The day they put the cameras in, we went out there again and measured it was 3.5 seconds.
Oh, bastards.
They know that none of you, and
we're
that's
account,
not
we're
who has time, we're going to count that. We did it. We put it on the air live. I got a nasty note from the Maitland Police Department.
Are
that
you
day.
Serious?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
What did they say? Thanks a lot for blowing our cover.
It's like 10 years ago. No, that wasn't true, but I What do you mean it's not true? I was out there.
You went out there and did it. Holy cow. Yeah,
this is, dude, everything. Whenever they say safe for children, run for your life.
Mm.
You know? I mean, there's another thing. And then this weekend, when we left the air on, when was it, Wednesday? When did we leave for the
Thursday.
Thursday. I'm driving home, and I've seen it before, but Thursday really struck me. Like, damn. Those revenue lanes, I call them,
The
express lanes on I-4. Not only was that the whole point of the ultimate project, because we thought the ultimate project, we're going to have 6-8 lanes, 20 yeah. lanes going in each direction. They're going to be made out of felt, and it's going to be beautiful. And if we spin out on something, it'll hit the bouncy walls, and it's going to be great. It's going to be the best thing ever. We don't need exits because this crane's going to come down and gently lift us over the barrier and put us on the street. Yeah, all those promises we made. Then I realized, well, no, this is all about revenue.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's 2 lanes each way, all about cash. So then I also find out, well, it's interesting how an I-4, during the all day long, you never really see a cop on the non-revenue lanes. But you'll see, like Thursday, there was 8 police officers lined up on motorcycles on the express lanes.
Because they know, because nobody wants to take it because it's too expensive, so you could fly down there.
The express lanes, which are probably safer than any lane of I-4 anywhere in this county. Yeah, they were piled up there. You know why?
Because people can speed.
Because they can hide. Mm-hmm. Because people go a little faster because there's barely any people on it. Yeah. And the pavement is awesome. So, yeah, you're more bound to speed a little bit. And they're just cashing in, man. Never about what they tell you it's about.
No, but if you take the express lane, and depending on the time of day, like if you take it during, I almost said happy hour. If you take it during rush hour.
Yes, 2-for-1 at the express lane, man.
If you take it during rush hour, it's obviously more expensive. But if you go. Remember, they jack it up depending on how many people, how necessary it's going to be for that time of day. I took it in the middle of the day once. I had to get from, but it was glorious because I had to get from all the way out by iDrive to Longwood.
Right.
20 minutes on the express lane. I was like.
No,
there's nobody there.
If it was for what it was intended to be, what they lied to us about, yeah, it'd be great. But I mean, I don't go on there because I don't want a ticket for going 61 in the 60.
Really, it's just a hidden tax and a cash cow for local government. If they want to raise taxes on their citizens, do it. But don't pretend that this isn't some way a hidden tax.
Dude, this is very local here, but we have a highway here in Maitland. It goes through the... I guess the business district,
mm-hmm.
and it used to be a street. It used to be a boulevard.
Right.
I didn't understand what was all about till they built it. It's the curviest, up and down, curviest road I've ever seen. And the reason is the speed limit's ridiculous. I have neighborhoods where I live. The speed limit in the neighborhood is 55 because it's country. But it still houses a good 20 yards from the street. So don't tell me it's about safety. So here we got... concrete barriers that if you hit, your car will be totaled on either side and in the center. It's probably one of the safest roads in this county.
And what's the speed limit?
And you could probably go safely 55, maybe even 60. It's 45. Mm. And every single freaking day,
there's one cop?
There's 3 or 4. It's a cash cow.
Yeah, and then you get the people that as soon as they see it up there, everyone slows down, and then you have to slam on your brakes. Or
right.
Even if they've already pulled somebody over, it's like, what do you think? He's just going to abandon the person? He's outside of his car, and he's going to come running after you? Why are you slowing down?
And here's the thing. If it was about safety, they wouldn't hide. They would be before the lump in the road. They would be before it, so everybody would slow down. But you see, it's not about slowing down. It's about getting you and giving you a ticket on the other side of the lump.
Tell me. Lumpy quality.
Dude, it's an amazing world we live in. Anyway, 12-year-old, listen to this, 12 years old, faked her kidnapping so she can get cash from the family.
What is wrong with kids
now? Probably saw it on a television show and was like, that's genius.
1 a.m., parents in Brazil started receiving texts saying their 12-year-old daughter had been abducted, which isn't a big, really that, you know, shocking in Brazil. It happens all the time. The girl claimed that she'd been threatened with death and brutalization, so the terrified parents naturally got the police involved at 11 a.m. Text started coming in again, this time demanding a ransom for the return of the girl. Hours later, however, police managed to locate the girl, but there were no kidnappers to be found. Turns out the girl made the whole thing up.
Let's just see who's lying, shall we?
Trying to get a bigger allowance.
You know, you're grounded for...
ever.
Yeah, Christmas is not coming very soon for you. A third of adults under 35 still live with their parents.
Now,
oh, come on.
You did this earlier. I thought.
I screwed it up.
I thought. So did they go back home?
It's 30 to 34, though. So it's not like
ages 30 to 19. 34?
Ages 30 to 34. Yep. Still
living
with
the
parents.
Believe that, I would believe that between the ages of like 18 and 24, assuming that they never left. But when you said 30s, I assumed that these people left and came back.
No, now 25 to 30, it's 12% are still living with their parents. But that, you know, you can almost understand that. But when you get up to 30 to 34 years old,
wow,
that's a lot. So, and that's doubled since 2019. I'm sorry, tripled since 2019.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Holy cow. You think this is a COVID thing? Or
maybe they did, that's how they did, and they just stayed that way.
Yeah, once you got to get in there, it's like, well, why would I go back to not living with them?
I don't know, man. I still see people with masks on. I saw a girl at Whole Foods working behind the counter. Had the COVID, the cheap blue one on, and then a black one on top of that. Two masks.
What'd you do to
couldn't
her?
See her. Get off here. Couldn't even see her eyeballs. There was so much masking going on.
I'm in between doctors at the moment because my other doctor was like, we're only taking old people now. So I go to like, they switched to just like a Medicare only. So I don't have a doctor anymore. So I had to go to the CVS Take Care Clinic. Mm-hmm. So I went in there because I've,
is that a thing? I've always seen that. Mm-hmm.
No, nurse practitioners are in there.
So the pharmacist. Come here, sit down. Sit down on my pile of Gatorade. I'll look at you. No,
that's where I got. They can give you a prescription for an antibiotic. So I went in there and everybody in there had masks on. And if you, they'll hand you a mask and be like, here, we're going to give you some tests, but say, put this mask on first. And you're like, there's nobody here. And why? Like, no.
What
I'm
do
not,
they say?
No. They'll just give it to you and go, here's a mask. And you just, you know, you don't have to put it on.
No, I'm not putting it on.
Because their first thing to do is go, what's the matter? Oh, I have a sore throat. Okay, we're going to run a COVID test and a flu test and a flu A and flu B. And we're going to run strep. And then we're going to check this. And then we're going to check. They give you all the tests.
And I told you to put the mask on. I need you to take it down so I can stick the thing up your nose.
Well, that's the thing. They're like, here's a mask to put on. And then they're like, now we need to do all the tests. It's like, well, why?
What the hell is going on around
here? Right.
Cover all the cover all the orifices that I need to swab on you.
Okay.
Okay. And finally, the Obama Museum or Library or Storage Unit, whatever that is that he put up in Chicago, is open now. You have to have a photo ID to get in.
Yeah.
That's preposterous.
Every Democrat that glommed on Obama was there, including Joe Biden. You know, it's a big chance to go up
dude,
there.
He did a whole speech.
Have you ever had a dream that you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
Thank you, Joe.
Shut up.
So the Big O did his speech celebrating the opening, telling us how bad America is, dropped the mic, and then started walking off stage, did a little air guitar to the blues band that was playing. They finished off, and then Jill Biden can be seen trailing Obama with a sort of like a fan sort of.
Wait for me.
I want to be in the picture too because I got this book coming out. So she chased him off stage, leaving Joe Biden all alone on stage, not knowing what to do. He had the aviators
naked
on.
Naked and afraid?
Well, he got a little worried about his granddaughter. I don't know what that
had. What do you mean?
Well, here's what happened. Listen. This is the band ending their tune. Obama does his guitar thing. End of song. Everybody walks out. Joe Biden.
Where's my granddaughter?
And Joe Biden starts yelling, where's my granddaughter?
Where's my granddaughter?
What? Yeah, they left him up there. She, the loving wife, Dr. Jill Biden, first lady doctor, left Joe up there all by himself. Just like she said before, she loves him so much that when she thought he was having a stroke, she did nothing.
Aww. She probably thought he doesn't know where he is anyway. Just leave him there. He'll be fine for a minute.
Where's my granddaughter?
So he's like, where's my granddaughter? He couldn't find his... I don't even know if she was there. He looked really lost.
He's always lost.
It was so sad, almost.
Aw.
I mean, I can't be sad for him, but it was almost that.
Aw. Yeah. Bless.
Isn't it? It's sad. Anyway, but there's an app.
Hi, folks. It's Joe Biden. And if you're like me, you're having trouble finding your granddaughter. Well, now you can stop yourself from wandering around looking for your granddaughter like I do with the Find My Granddaughter app. It helps you find your granddaughter, man.
Hey, Stella, have you seen our granddaughter?
Last time I saw her was at Thanksgiving last year. Use the Find My Granddaughter app.
Great idea.
Hey, man. Where's my granddaughter?
No, where's my granddaughter?
Where's my granddaughter, man?
You're supposed to be helping me find my granddaughter.
Where am I? What am I doing? How did I get in this phone?
What the?
Find my granddaughter app. From me, Joe Biden. Download it tonight.
The Sunny Update. We now rejoin the Rick Stacy Morning Show, already in progress. And listen, they've already made quite the progress, having fun with the world gone crazy. Progressively crazy. Crazier.
Oh, yeah.
It's Crazy Talk. It's brought to you by All Electric Services. Did you guys hear about this story? This happened some time ago, but these gentlemen just got themselves a lawyer. They were working at Starbucks, and a robbery happened.
Yeah, I saw this.
They decided to thwart the robbers. Really, they weren't even trying to protect Starbucks' money. They were trying to defend their own lives.
It was a Sunday in December 2023, the middle of the afternoon. Michael Harris was working drive-through.
We were just going about our normal day. Two robbers walked in.
One suspect walks behind the counter and shoves a female worker to the ground.
I was scared, but also just calm at the moment because I was just like, whatever we could do to just get them out of here would be perfect.
The robbers demand money and strike Harris with a gun.
After that point, like when my vision went black, I was like, I'm about to get shot.
A customer in the drive-thru sees what's happening and reverses her car. Another worker, also fired after this, saw a suspect lower his gun, so he shoved him and noticed the gun was fake.
My coworker announced that it was a fake gun, like right as he got it off of them. And that's when we jumped and like started to fight them a little bit more. We are terminating you effective immediately.
That's what the notice they got.
Yeah, so
they
thank you, Starbucks. Well, another reason I shouldn't go there.
For not just dying.
Right. Right.
He hired attorney Ryan Krupp.
You have the right to self-preservation. You have the right to make sure that you and your family are not going to be physically harmed. Full stop.
Yeah, I mean, like, what do you want me to do? Just go, that's fine.
No, they should be given a Medal of Valor for that, fighting for your crappy burnt French coffee.
Oh, but instead, they were fired.
No, you know what?
These companies, I'll see you in court.
All these companies exist for one reason and one reason only, to make money, and their, litigation line in their budget, you know, can't exceed a certain amount, so they'll do anything. They don't care. They don't care about you. They don't give people, they love me, they're good, they won't fire me. They'll fire you for anything, man. You cost them a dime, you're out of there.
Yeah, that's the hard part. It's like a lot of people have this dedication to their job. It's like they'll step over your dead body on their way to hire the next guy.
Yeah,
exactly.
That just sucks.
Sad, but true.
It's the same rule, I believe, and I haven't been there in a while. This was several years ago when I was at Old Navy, and the guy that was checking us out was telling us, because I saw some lady walked out the door and you heard that beep, 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 beep. So she walks back in. She's like, oh, you didn't take the tag thing off of my whatever her piece of clothing was. And they're like, oh, come over here. And they take it off. And she goes. And the guy turns around and looks and just keeps working. And I said, what if she just kept walking? He goes, I'd have to let her go.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I go, what do you mean? He goes, oh, it's our company policy not to go after anybody if they steal clothes. So a bunch of people can just walk in here, take clothes, and walk out. And I can't do anything about it.
What store is that?
We see that everywhere. Yeah, it's the new,
And at this point,
you'll like the way you steal. We guarantee it.
At what point do you go, it's not my store, I don't own it. If that's your policy, fine, take it. It's not my money.
No, but in that case, in the Starbucks case, they were
fighting for their lives.
Self-defense over there.
Right.
The guy notices there's no gun, and the guy's going to get violent anyway if you don't do anything. So, yeah, they did the right thing. Screw you, man.
Pistol-whipped him with the fake gun, so he got hit in the head.
Yeah.
You know, you should just sit there and get beat up. That's our company policy. Just get the crap beat out of you and hold still.
Wasn't there another company?
There's all of them.
I'm trying to think of which one it was where somebody was stealing some stuff.
It was the Home Depot guy who tackled the robber.
Was it Home Depot? And then he got fired, right?
Yeah, he was a vet, too.
That's insane.
Yeah, we were a couple of hot potatoes over that.
We were going to do the right thing ever again. Is this just going down a spiral, death spiral into...
I don't know.
Complete chaos. This is turning into The Purge, only it's during the day.
I think the Daniel Penny case deterred a lot of people from helping anybody anymore.
Yeah.
They're like, if that's what I get for trying to help people, you're going to arrest me, then no.
Yeah.
And, everyone is desensitized now, so what do they do when they see something tragic happen? They pull out their phone out and they film it. And yeah. I think some people, I'm not going to say everybody's a bad person because I don't think they are. I think some people truly pull out their phone to film it thinking they're going to help. Hey, I have the evidence on camera right. at least.
You think so?
I think some people think that.
Yeah, I'm not that
Oh,
nice.
I got it on camera. Look, officer. I didn't do anything, yeah. but I got it on camera.
But if you want the evidence, it'll cost you $3,000.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a little clip of this guy. He's filming the cops chasing some dude, and the cops are trying to get him to, like, grab the guy, grab him. And he's just filming him.
Grab her. We're filming.
Grab her? What are you talking about?
Come on. Aren't you a good citizen?
What do you mean?
He's like, grab the lady. Grab. He's like, what? Grab her. What should I do? Why should I help? And he's like, I don't know. You want to help at all?
This is interesting because we love to talk about our new favorite television show, which is Instagram Reels of all of the Europeans over here for the World Cup.
Right.
And some of them, you know how we do people on the street mm-hmm. here in America, people will go out with a microphone and a camera. They were talking to some people over that were from the UK mm-hmm. and saying, you know what, you guys, you're doing it right over here because over in the UK, we're falling apart.
We need a Donald Trump in the UK. Someone who can see the bigger picture and not be so afraid of what all the politicians are going to think of them when they do stuff and do it. That's what we need.
Thank goodness we got Donald Trump. I don't know what would happen if we didn't.
He's, I love him.
So that's one British guy. Here's another one.
Lived here all my life, yeah. Your views of Donald Trump, what he says about the UK, is completely correct. The UK is finished. We've had too much immigration.
How do you fix this?
I think it's gone beyond that line where you can kind of fix it. You need to have somebody, as a prime minister, somebody on the same similar thing as Donald Trump. Zero tolerance, boom, go a little bit militant. We need a Trump. We need a Donald Trump.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah.
So this is kind of fun. This is, and I agree with all of this. This guy, I forget if he's from Australia or from the United Kingdom. Again, you're seeing a lot of people say, we were completely lied to by the media. We were told America was awful, but you guys are doing a hell of a job so far.
I have to say this about the World Cup. America has absolutely smashed it. Before this tournament, you had people online saying it's going to be a terrible World Cup. America doesn't like football. Nobody's going to travel. We're not going to feel welcomed. And it's been quite the opposite. We've got fans from all corners of the globe. We've got packed world-class stadiums, by the way. Friendly people. Everybody you meet is just stopping you and talking about football and your experiences. I think we can all agree that America has done an absolutely fantastic job of hosting this World Cup so far. I genuinely feel a lot of people's opinions on America will now change after this World Cup.
Well, maybe Europeans will. I don't know.
They're
other Americans.
No,
I wish.
It's too profitable and too much of a power grab to like our country.
You know, now the new big thing is the Tartan Army, which is the Scottish. They've made their way down to Fort Lauderdale.
Really?
And yeah, they were down there in all the bars watching the matches. It's so Scotland played over the weekend. And oh, so speaking of, so Freddie, you bring up Freddie all the time, right?
Freddie has become a viral sensation all over the world.
Everyone loves Freddie. He's a German tourist that came on this trip to the World Cup. And what happened the other day was Germany was playing over the weekend. So Freddie's connecting flight from Dallas to Canada was canceled due to weather. And they had rebooked him on another flight the next day. But he was going to miss the Germany match.
Yeah, so you gotta understand, Freddie just was nobody, and he started posting almost before anybody else did.
Right.
how much he loved the country.
Right,
and he made a point of traveling across the entire country. And the one thing he did that he said, and this is every European, they can go by car and go where they want to go.
Right,
not where the train goes.
So he was like, "This is crazy." So over social media, everyone rallied around Freddie. They were like, "Somebody get this man a private jet." Get him to this match. So somebody said, "Hey, Fred is governor of Utah. Hey, Freddie, I'm the governor of Utah. I'm assuming someone has reached out to help you make your match tomorrow. If not, DM me and I'll try to help you get there." Air Canada. "Hey, Freddie, let's get you to Toronto. Send me a DM." American Airlines. "Not on our watch, Freddie. Go check your DMs." And then somebody that had a private plane actually said, "Hey, let me see if I can get you a private jet to get you flown where you need to fly." And so all these people were trying to come together. He managed to get to his match.
Wow.
to get there to watch Germany. Also, J.J. Watt, when he was in Dallas,
former football player
for Houston, right?
Right.
Paid for Freddie and all of his friends to stay in a fancy schmance hotel up in a big, huge suite. And so Freddie was like, "Hey, I got to say thanks to J.J. Watt for I would never be able to stay in a place like this. This is
beautiful.
Amazing. Yeah, it was gorgeous.
And the room was full of stuff. They've gave him like, you name it, the most expensive candy. And
how's he going to fly home with all this?
Well, you know, the other thing is American Airlines on one of their specific flights, I forget where it was going, but it was going to Seattle, I think, where the USA was playing.
Right.
And to surprise everybody, because they knew the majority of the people on that flight were going to World Cup games, people got on the plane. Every seat on the back of the seat had a USA soccer jersey and USA swag in the seats when they got on.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah. No, Freddie's a sensation. And you know what? The first couple of nights he stayed here, he took that car and he would sleep outside because he wanted to. He was like, I can see the stars and everything. And then he was talking about all the great places. He's been to all those little rural areas, you know, like the ball of twine kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, what I thought was interesting, too, is not only the American anthem gave me chills the other day when everybody, they played the instrumental version when we played Australia, and everyone sang along so loud that you could, like, feel it. It was amazing. But the new thing that they've adapted was, I'm sure you know that West Virginia University, for their Mountaineers, I think they're called, their theme song is Take Me Home, Country Roads by John Denver from 1971. Okay. So the World Cup has kind of adopted this song. So after the USA beat Australia the other day, the whole stadium started singing it. I want you to listen to this.
So the United States beats Australia in their second World Cup game. And this is the stadium right after the game. You literally cannot beat this.
Is awesome. That's almost as good as a Trump dance. What game was this that broke?
I'm not sure which one that was.
It was the last goal. America wins, and then they start doing the Trump dance.
So funny.
Tell me, did Obama have a dance? Did Biden have a dance? Biden have a dance? No.
I will tell you. That's true. Upstairs. It's really cool to see everybody at the matches. Who's dressed as the Statue of Liberty? Who's dressed as a bald eagle? Who's got red, white, and blue flags draped around their bodies? It's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not just Europeans that are loving
South Americans.
Oh, well, it's you know, what's funny is a lot of people from New York have come down to Florida for the matches in Miami.
Right.
And they don't want to go home.
You know what I learned about being in Florida for a few days? I don't want to go back to New York. New York smells like and it's absolutely a hole. Florida, look at this. Sun every day. New York, it's 68 degrees in June. I'm sitting here and listen to Dino. Beautiful. I got to get out of New York, and you got to get out of New York, too.
They're like, but don't come to Florida because we're crowded.
Yeah, don't bring your politics here either.
This is my new favorite, though. This lady, and I thought, gosh, I feel the same exact way. I was like, what's going to happen when the World Cup is over?
What are we going to do when everybody leaves? What are we going to do when the whole world go back home? It's like being at your grandmama's house in the summer, then everybody go home. All your cousins there. Everybody came out of town. Everybody eating what they want to eat at grandmama's house because she don't care. What are we going to do when they all go home? That is making me sad. I like all this commotion. I like all this excitement. I like all the people talking about America. I like them eating our food. I like them bringing businesses to our cities. It's going to get boring. And then the media going to tell us how horrible we are when they go. We got to do something else. What else we got? What's the lineup? What's next? How we can get them back over here?
Crazy talk.